It's time for a few of the letters to the newspaper. Quite a mixture, as always, but we will start with a bit of nostalgia from Anthony Gerald, who remembers Pine Banks. I am a little surprised by the article about the Pine Banks site. I very much share the disappointment relative to the proposed development of this site, as I had the experience of staying with my grandmother at Pine Banks after my parents were obliged to move out of our house, 10, now 20, Cotman Road, because of blitz damage in 1942. Direct hits with high explosive bombs destroyed the house next door and ended the lives of two elderly ladies living there. Pine Banks was the site for strawberry tea parties for Gerald employees in the 1930s. The tower, restored by Norwich Union, provided a view to the coast and the Britannia Nelson Memorial at Great Yarmouth on a clear day. But would an otter really climb quite a steep hill and plan a family so far from water? The photo, which is very indistinct, does not portray the tail or greasy-looking coat which characterise the otter. Muntjac are everywhere around the city perimeter. Pretty faces, somewhat ugly bodies, breeding quite prolifically, immensely damaging to some plants and trees, and sadly, the only adversaries are the cars when they go on roads. Yes, forget about needing all these homes. Is it 750 or only 500? Pine Banks would be a wonderful park to add to Whitlingham and nearby Venta Icene, currently unavailable to dog walkers due to some selfish owners allowing their dogs to savage a number of sheep.
More nostalgia. This time about mussels from Mawston. Steve Mackinder of Denver reminds us. Mawston mussels used to be regular weekend treat for us, and while based at my office at Walsingham, it was easy to grab a carrier bag full of whoppers while out and about. Then about 10 years ago, the rumours of shortages and silted up mussel beds started circulating, and over a couple of years, fisher folk along that stretch of coast who raised their own mussel beds and harvested these delicacies found themselves going out of business as their mussels died after being drowned by thick layers of silt drifting down the coastline. Conspiracy theories pointed uncomfortably to the coincidence of Wells Harbour being deep dredged to accommodate the service boats attending to the newly installed wind farms, but despite an initial unofficial investigation, government agencies showed little interest in this ecological disaster caused by drifting silt. The theories of cover-ups abounded, and while the undersea damage was huge, it was suspected the eco wind farms had bigger fish to fry, and a few moaning but now unemployed locals would just have to suffer the consequences. I'm glad Natural England has stepped in to have a look, and as the NCC has discovered with Wentz and Bats, if the environment is suffering because of man-made activities, there will be hell to pay. Maybe, before too long, those fabled mussels from the Stiffkey Freshes will be back in a pub near you. Can't wait.
Our King of Royden suggests we should celebrate St. Edmund. This Wednesday is St. Edmund's Day and we should celebrate it. Mainly in the twin counties of Norfolk and Suffolk, but also across England, as he was the original patron saint of England, and he, unlike St. George, did live in England. Our councillors are trying to resurrect the devolution deal between the two counties, so this is the time to fly the flag. He is reported to have been killed by the Danes on the Norfolk-Suffolk border because he would not renounce Christianity. How about getting Denmark to pay war reparations?
Wroxham Football Club gets a mention from Richard Shepherd of Holt, who writes, "The BBC's Look East carried a light-hearted little sketch about Wroxham Football Club, linking it, with a little banter, to Wrexham FC. Our Welsh brethren wryly professed to have no knowledge of the village on the Norfolk Broads, but the names, however, are one and the same. The great Norfolk-born writer and philologist, George Borrow, 1803-81, was self-taught in Welsh and mentions Wrexham a dozen times in his work Wild Wales, 1862. In Chapter 5, he gives the following. The town is reckoned a Welsh town, but its appearance is not Welsh. Its inhabitants have neither the look nor the language of Welshmen. And its name shows that it was founded by some Saxon adventurer, Wrexham being a Saxon compound signifying the home or habitation of Rex or Rag, and identical, or nearly so, with the Wroxham of East Anglia. If, however, the two football teams ever meet, I shall definitely be cheering in the broad Norfolk dialect."